Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a long-lost Dubs voice today. So I want to go and give a little preface here before the show, and then I want to introduce our guest. So, life is funny. Life kind of takes you in different paths, and the journey sometimes is really strange. You don't always see it. And, you know, some people go out and come back in, and there's reasons for all that. So, I'd like to go and, you know, have a punchline here, other than saying that I've been able to reconnect with a good friend of mine. I would say, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months ago, and we've been able to go and stay connected. And I won't even give the insight to, you know, all the backstory and whatnot. But, I just wanted to be able to go and bring that person on the show. And that person will appear in about 2 weeks. But for today, I've got Carly Davis. Carly, welcome to the show. How are you?
You're such a jerk.
Right? You thought I was going right there, and you're like, oh man, this guy got
serious. Have you seen that heart eyes emoji? Like, that was happening in real time. And then you said that, and it became the Jaeger eyeball.
Give it a couple of weeks. I'll bring somebody back on. But for today, it's just Carly. Hey, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
All right. So, no, in all seriousness, no. So I want to reintroduce Carly Davis to everybody here. So if you're a Dubs listener, Carly was a co-host for how long? About a year or so?
Say like a hot minute, but okay.
No. Okay. Like a hot minute. And so I want to reintroduce everybody, because at one point Carly was working with us through the DCA. She was involved with the Dubs and whatnot. So part of the squad. And then, you know, life has, you know, a unique path for everybody. And so, you know, Carly, along with John Kroll and Lonnie and at that point, Jeff, they started a Disney podcast. You saw the advertisements in Ed Cotton. It was called Disney with the Ducks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And it was a Disney-based and kind of like a really running heavy podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things with the show apparently look really good right now. So I want to ask you this question. As a podcaster, or I would say, you know, as a former podcaster, because life happened, we'll talk about this. As a former podcaster, give me your favorite podcast memory before we talk about a life update for you, if you don't mind. So give me something, because you started this off from scratch, and you went, and give me your favorite memory.
Oh my gosh. Probably just, like, there's not one specific, but it's all the behind the scenes stuff that nobody actually gets to see. Like, I still have hours of stuff on my computer that you just can't share with anybody, because it will get you like an NC-17 rating, especially y'all know John Kroll, and he can't say anything that is appropriate without giggling like a 12-year-old boy. And so I think literally every good memory that I have from the show is just listening to John giggle, and you could see his face. He heard something that nobody else did. Nobody meant it the way he heard it, but he would hear it and you could see his face, and then he'd giggle, and oh my gosh, his giggle is infectious. And so I think, yeah, that's all of my favorite memories are just laughing and behind the scenes stuff.
So it's so accurate. If you listen to a podcast, you get used to a personality, and you get used to the way they tell a story and the way their voice has inflections. But what you don't know is the before they hit the record button and the after when they hit the record button, and like the immediate like judgment they place on themselves, and like the humor and like just the off the wall stuff. That you're exactly right. If people heard the Dubs before and after, like all of a sudden you'd be like, what? Who are these people? So, but that's reality. It's part of what makes doing a podcast fun, is you get to connect with people like you should, but then you get to connect with people on a different level. And all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, you know, what is this person's amazing. I love this. So outstanding. So give us an update if you don't mind, Carly. Give us an update. Give us a life update. Whatever you want to share, we're open for it. So share with us. First off, this is Carly Davis, so that will tell you there's a life update to be given here at this point.
There's a huge life update. Okay. I'm in the middle of a divorce. Jeff and I have decided to split, and so that's where we're at there. It's actually finalized next Tuesday. So my name will officially be Carly Davis again, which is weird. Like, it's so weird. I have kids at school that some of them call me Carly or like Mrs. Positano. Some are calling me Miss Davis. And I go to write my name and I don't know which one to do yet. And I've gotten really good at signing Positano over the years. And now I'm going back to Davis and I'm like, I don't even know how to sign my name anymore. Like, how do you make a cursive V? That's weird. So it's just weird. All the different things that you don't think about, like, I mean, from the crazy stuff, I'm going to have to change my driver's license and my checking account and my checkbook to just learning how to write your name over again and respond when somebody says Miss Davis, not be like, Oh, that's me. That's me. I forgot. Yeah. So no, that's probably the biggest thing in my life. We are learning how to be a family, but in different homes and in different places and get along and navigate life. And, you awesome. Know,
okay. Well, I'm going to go back to that, but that's part of what the show is about today is you thought this was a life update, but this is a Disney show because what we're going to talk about today is you took a single parent trip. Uh-huh. And you went to Walt Disney World. So when you're saying, hey, we're getting used to life as a family in different homes and different things, here you go. We have a single parent family trip to Walt Disney World we're going to talk about. But really the hot question, the most important question, what everyone wants to know is who got Zeke, right? Who got Zeke? Where is Zeke at? That's what we all want to know. We all want to know. Like everything else is all whatever. I don't care. Whatever.
Poor little Zeke. Zeke's still here at his house. So nice. Zeke is nice. Here. Jeff's apartment does not allow animals. And I think he did that intentionally because, you know, he doesn't want to have to clean a litter box or pick up, you know, dog droppings from the yard. So Zeke is living here.
Well, hang on. You got a cat too. You got a new cat, right?
Two cats now. That's another life update. I got I'm going to call her an emotional support kitten. In about November, Riley suckered me into it with the guilt trip and manipulation. So I have a new kitten in the house. And yeah, so two cats and a dog were like the quintessential, you know, soon to be a cat lady kind of family.
I was just going to say, you're a newly divorced, let's say middle-aged woman with cats. You're now the crazy cat lady.
I'm close. I think I need one more to be a crazy cat lady right nicely. Now. I'm just on the way.
Okay. All right. Another thing that, you know, you'd like to do, and of course I'll give you comments in the behind the scenes, is you like to find and pull and support with like phrases, inspirational mm-hmm. phrases on Facebook. All right. So
you love that about you, me. I know it.
Well, hey, you know, everyone to each their own. All right. So no judgment unless you're my friend, then there's a lot of judgment, but what's your favorite inspirational or motivational phrase right now? Give me a phrase that just stuck with you. It doesn't have to be even complete. What's your favorite phrase right now?
Right now? So always my mantra has been let it be.
Okay.
And that goes back to, you know, my dad loved the Beatles. And after he passed, I heard let it be all the time. And if you listen to the song, it's actually John Lennon talking about his mom and how he came to her in dreams. And so that's always been my mantra, but lately I've had a lot of support from my friends, and one of them tells me on pretty much a daily basis right now, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I just had like the worst weekend ever. Like the shingles came off my roof in a windstorm and I got my bill for my taxes. Thank Rick Forbes. I really appreciate it. And I mean, just like, all kinds of bills coming in, the stuff that you just don't anticipate, and it was crap. And so I reached out and I was, you know, venting to friends because that's what I do. And I started sharing all kinds of inspirational posts on Facebook because that's what I do. That's how I cope. Make TikToks. That's how I cope. And immediately upon seeing one of my posts, I got a message from my buddy and he was like, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. So that's been it lately, which fits because, you know, I'm a Disney girl.
You're a Disney girl. So, and you know, so when we reconnected, and I will say for everyone who's wondering, oh, was there a, well, Carly and I, we never had a disagreement or a fight. We've always stayed friends. It just, you know, we ran in parallel lines at this point. right? So, but when we reconnected, you know, I said, hey, I'm curious, how does Disney fit in your life? And do you remember your answer? Do you remember what you told me?
I don't.
I can tell you. It said, okay. I'm not sure how Disney fits in my life at this point. Because I think you were still kind of searching for how you can line those things up and go and enjoy an experience like you may have lived in your previous life. Mm-hmm. But throwing it all out there, Disney is like, Disney is ridiculously unattainable for 95% of the country. We are all Disney fans, right? So if you're listening to this, you're a super mega Disney nerd fan like me, like Carly, like everybody. But when you look at those costs, when you get home, like you don't want to open that credit card bill. That credit card bill is gonna destroy you. It's how much do we spend for a drink at the pool? You know, was that an $18 right? drink at the pool? Yes. And there was three of them. Congratulations. Have a nice day.
Yes.
So that was your question, was you're not quite sure how Disney fit. Then all of a sudden we started talking and you're planning a single parent trip to Walt Disney World. So I want to know all about this. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know, you know, what your concerns were. I want to know all your accommodations in terms of did you fly because you're a terrible flyer? You know, I want to know all these things about you. So mm-hmm. let's start off. You spent how many days total down there?
Five. You were there for five.
5 nights or 5 days, 4 nights?
We did 5 days, 4 nights. Yeah.
Okay. So did you fly or did you drive?
We flew mm-hmm. only because that's the only way I could get there and back fast enough to get back to work. But it was my very first time flying. I'd flown by myself before, mm-hmm. but it was my first time just me and Riley. And it was my first time flying sober. Meaning no alcohol before I got on the plane and no, like I've taken Xanax before to get through flights. I've taken sleeping pills to get through flights before. So like it was me cold turkey flying and it wasn't awful. It wasn't great. I was very proud of myself for getting and navigating through the airport and doing all of that stuff. I mean, like I've never had to park in the overnight or the long stay parking before. I've never had to do any of that. I just show up and here I am. Yeah. So that was new, but no, we did it and it was great. And we got down there and, you know, it was like, okay, now we had to Uber, which was scary. I've never Ubered by myself, just me and Rye, which I mean, I know for guys it's one thing, but for a mom mm-hmm. and a daughter, I was terrified. But it worked out well, and you know, we started the trip, and so it was like the very first two things that we officially did were big milestones, and it helped me get over that fear that I had had.
So nothing you're saying is really inconsistent with anybody who's flown before by themselves. It is scary AF the first time, you know, and when you're doing something, you think, oh no, it's just a flight. We're going on vacation. We do this all the time. But like the first moment you leave your house and you're like, okay, I need like 19 steps to go all in sequence to make this trip successful, or it's just me and I'm going to lock the keys out of the car, or I'm going to miss the flight. And before you start thinking about that, all of a sudden you get this, like these bumps on your arm and you're like, I need to breathe. Yes. So I completely get that. All right. So you go in, there is no take the edge off alcohol and mm-hmm. you're flying on your own. So we used to joke about that because if you're a bad flyer, if you have anxiety over flying, there's only a few ways you get on that flight. And some of them might be liquid courage ways. So to do that without that, you need to keep your wits on you. So, okay.
Yeah.
Give me the details here. Where are you flying? You're flying Spirit? You flying United? What are you flying?
No, we usually fly Southwest.
Okay.
We fly Southwest. I've flown Spirit down and back before. And I said, that will never happen again. It was the worst experience of my life, but Southwest is always good. Our plane was a little later, but not bad. You know, we didn't have assigned seats, so it was fine. Riley always insists on sitting next to the window, so I get middle seat. But this cute little lady sat beside me. So it was very comfortable. And I mean, everything was just nice.
Nice. Okay. So no stress, no turbulence. You land, you get your luggage, no problems there. And then you're not taking any bus. You're taking an Uber to your resort, right?
Yes.
Okay. I've never had a bad experience with an Uber. I know you said it for guys, but I can imagine for a girl, it's definitely different, or for a mom, or for, so no problems with Uber. You've navigated successfully and you arrive at which resort?
Well, hold up. Let's back up for just 1 minute, because I don't know if people know this about Uber and Lyft, but they have a feature that you can share your trip progress. And so I was doing that. I did that with a friend. I did that with my mom. And I did that even with Jeff. I shared my trip progress with all three so that if it veered off course, or if it was, you know, if I felt unsafe, there was a button that I could hit.
Yeah, there's a safety button on the app.
Yeah. And so that was really nice. That made me feel a lot better, especially sharing it with several different people who could watch what was happening. Because I was like, well, if you get busy and you're not watching me, like, I want to make sure there's a backup and a backup to my backup. But so, yes, we were at, we ended up at Boardwalk. Actually, we went to Boardwalk and we checked in, and then we immediately left and we went to the Springs. So we were just there for a quick minute, checked in, threw our bags in the room, and then off we were.
You know, okay, let me pause that. So Boardwalk, we'll put a pin in that one. Let's go back. I guess that's something I never really, like, how can I say this? It's almost like male privilege. Like when I get into an Uber, I'm never that concerned, right? It's like, please, that guy's going to have to pull. This guy's going to have to do something really crazy, you know? Like, good luck on you, sir. Have a nice day. Yeah. And so when I've landed before too and rented a car and driven to Lakeland at like 2 a.m, I'm not concerned. You know, it's whatever. But I imagine if my wife was in that same situation, I would probably be a basket case, and she probably would too, because of the difference. So, and there are women that would be like, nah, but I can certainly see that for your first time. So, okay. You're at the Boardwalk, check in, and now you're at Disney Springs, and you're going to probably end up over at, well, I'm just going to let it, did you go get something to eat, Carly? I'm just wondering, did you get something to eat?
Get something to eat? Of course we did. We got that's two reasons we went there. We went for Gideon's. Okay. So we ended up with cookies. Okay. And oh my gosh, I have this in my notes that I have to talk about. Walked in there ready to get a chocolate chip cookie because, you know, they're amazing. But they have a sunset special cookie that you can only get at like dusk, I think. I forget exactly what they call the special hour that you can get these cookies, but we happened to be there right then. And I was so excited. It was a dark coffee cake cookie, and it was life-changing. It was beautiful. It might be the best cookie I've ever had in my life. It was glorious.
No one's ever been so eloquent about a cookie before. Come on.
Oh
now
my life, gosh,
life-changing.
It was so good.
Okay, so you have continued to march that Gideon's flag and carry it into battle like ever since I've known you. But Crumbl has been getting a lot of like popularity recently, and Crumbl has been getting a lot of like heat. So there's like two camps. There's either Gideon's raw cookie dough cookie or Gideon's flat. Honestly, I'm not a sweets guy. I could go either way, whatever. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. You know, I'm more of a spicy hot sauce coffee kind of guy than a cookie guy. But there's been a lot of movement for Crumbl recently. So have you had a Crumbl cookie at this point?
I have not, but we have a Crumbl cookie in Canton. So like when I go to Disney, there's, even if it's great, there's not going to be a moment that I'm like, ooh, chain cookie. Yep. You, cause there's 130 minutes for me. That's not special. That's boring.
Okay. Well, okay. There's a perspective to be shared there then. So it's Gideon's based on the uniqueness and the inability to get it at home. Correct. Okay.
Yes.
And then besides eating cookies, did you eat somewhere? Did you where'd you eat?
Oh my gosh, we went to Raglan Road, which is my favorite at Disney Springs.
You surprised me. I thought you were gonna get some chimichurri steak here. I thought that's where I was leading you to. Okay.
No, this was girls' trip, and we did things that her and I love, but we would typically shy away from because it didn't suit the whole family previously. So we ended up at Raglan Road. And she loves the fish and chips there. And I love the atmosphere. It's amazing. I think I had a salad with like salmon on it. It was nothing earth shattering, but you know, I got a drink and we sat and watched the Irish dancers and the Celtic band. And it was just, I love it. I could stay there for hours. I think every time we go, I take video upon video upon video of like the same dances. And then I never watch them again, but never, I'm like, never. I might want to. I might want to watch it.
It's like every Disney fan, right? We take pictures of the same exact thing, and then we all share the same exact thing as if we're the first person to ever discover it, and we share it out, and then we look at it back later, yes. And we're like, hang on, I got 17 pictures of the freaking Seas with Nemo entrance. What do I got 17 yes. pictures of the same entrance for? You know,
and it's all like stock photos. They're just really right. bad, blurry pictures. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, did you buy anything or did you shop for anything in particular, or are you just there to eat cookies and have salads?
We walked around. I think Riley may have bought some things at World of Disney, maybe. I can't really remember. This trip was weird though, because typically I'm very into shopping at Disney and I love it. And I came home with two souvenirs, two. One of them I bought at Raglan Road, and the other one was obviously a coffee mug, because that's what I do, is buy coffee mugs at Disney. But only two souvenirs the entire 5 days. And it's hilarious because the one from Raglan Road, Riley actually found for me. It's a keychain and it's got the name Davis on it. And then it's got the family crest for Davis. Nice. And on the back, it's got the motto that says, Davis, I will. So I just thought that was awesome. And I bought that the very first night. And that's all we bought at the Springs, I think, except maybe, like I said, a few things for her at World of Disney. But we did spend an exorbitant amount of time looking at socks at that little sock kiosk that's at Disney Springs. Have you ever seen it?
Is it a kiosk or is it Stance, like that sock store?
Yeah, it's a stand. Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh, I have so many pictures of pairs of socks. We didn't buy a single pair of socks, but I have so many pictures of socks that are just hilarious. And so, that's like one of our favorite places to go now is the sock kiosk.
Okay, hang on. Let's complete this thought. Give me your top four shopping locations at Disney Springs.
Oh gosh. I like Trendy. We do the sock kiosk now, World of Disney, obviously.
World of Disney, only when you want to throw fisticuffs, right? Because that's what you need when you get out of that store, right?
Yes.
You need to summer your internal Karen as much as possible to make it through that shopping experience.
Yes. But then there's like a is it Ever After? It's like a jewelry store, purse store that always has just, you know, the newest Loungefly and the Dunian Burke and the Kate Spade purses and all the jewelry. And that's like a window shopping place now. Like,
of course.
Don't touch. Walk away empty handed.
There we go. Two souvenirs, because the reality is, you know what? Your life has changed. So. And you know what? If anyone's gone through a divorce, you know life has changed, finances have changed, and you know you think of things differently. So here we're trying to process and take a different vacation, but still this still costs a fortune in the first place. So even in your mind, how are you budgeting differently? Are you saying, hey, we're only going to eat out once a day? Or did you just say, heck with it, we're just going to do whatever we want and we'll deal with it when we get home? And you know,
it was kind of an in-between of those. Mm-hmm. I tried definitely to limit to one sit down meal a day. And then obviously like souvenir budget was very different, but I don't know. It was also, this is our first trip, me and her. And in my head, you know, I was thinking this might be our last trip to Disney, me and her, at least for the foreseeable future.
For a while.
Yeah. Finances are tight and Disney it's not getting cheaper. Everything is a price. And it's funny because I have always just, Jeff was always in charge of the finances. He just was, that's the way we worked. That was his job. So we would go down and, you know, we'd be like, oh, yep. Get whatever you want. And he would take care of the bills. And, you know, I would just do the shopping and the drinking and the eating and the woohoo. And now I'm getting the bills and I'm like, I just got an avocado margarita and that sucker was $18. Yeah. Like I am licking the bottom of this I am licking the bottom.
And stealing the cup. Yes. Very good.
So okay. Yeah, it was completely different experience, but I think if you would have asked me a year ago if I could go to Disney and not shop and not spend a ton of money, I would have said no, but absolutely you can. I had just as much fun. I think I probably had more fun spending less money. So
Carly, it's my dirty secret for everybody. So almost 400 shows, right? We're out there. I'm a podcast and people know us, and I don't have an annual pass. I rarely go to the parks. And when I go to like Disney Springs, we rarely shop for anything. We'll get the occasional mug. And honestly, I enjoy figuring out ways to bring Disney to me without having to go and spend a ton of money and purchase Disney. And I almost enjoy it more. You know, we've re-embraced, you know, pin trading and talking to people, and we do a scavenger hunt. And you know what? So I've reinvented how I've done it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh yeah, we went to the annual pass, went to 7 parks in 7 days. And I'm like, not me, but I guarantee I had just as much fun, and I'm cool with that, you know? So interesting. Yeah. Now let's talk.
What you mentioned was also not having an AP. This is the first time I've been without an annual pass. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I've ever been without a park hopper, because the park hopper option was so much more expensive that I thought that's where I'm going to pare down a little bit. So I only got 4 days of park tickets for the 5 full days that we were there, because we were going to be at Springs one day, and I didn't get park hopper. And I think that that made the trip so much better. Just slowed me down, and mm-hmm. it slowed her down, and we just enjoyed rather than, you know, hitting half a day at Epcot and then going to Hollywood Studios and then the next day doing Hollywood Studios in the morning and then a half day at Epcot. It was like, no, we're just going to be at Epcot, and that's it. So like, get in what you want to get in, take it all in, chill. And I think that was the best part of it.
Okay. Interesting. Because I'll just say it like I remember it. The old Positano park method was literally, it wasn't commando. It was past that. It was like, we're going to assault every ride we can get our hands on. Yes. People, family, friends, be damned. We're going. And it was hard. It's hard.
It was exhausting.
Right?
Yes.
So, okay. So that's also one of my dirty secrets, is that I've never park hopped before.
Yeah.
I'm only going to visit one park. Cause in my thought is, this is like the top like 5 public like attractions in the country. If I can't figure out how to spend 10 hours here and be content, then I am screwed. Like if I can't hold my attention in this one place for 10 hours, I'm screwed, you know? So no, yeah. We're just going to enjoy, and we're going to almost camp out in the park for the day and take it at a slower pace and absorb, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's my philosophy. But you did go to parks, right?
You did.
All right. So take us to it. So where are you going?
So our first park day, we hit Epcot because it was Festival of the Arts, which was the entire reason we went down there. I have never been to the Festival of the Arts. Riley had, she loved it. So we, you know, stayed at Boardwalk so that we were close to Epcot, and we spent 2 solid days at Epcot back to back. So that was actually day 2 and 3 was Epcot and Festival of the Arts. And oh my gosh, like I'm not going to say it's my favorite festival, because I do think that Food and Wine is probably still my favorite, or Flower and Garden is probably still above. But man, if you've never been for Festival of the Arts, it's so pretty. There's stuff to look at everywhere. Like I know it's Epcot, there's always stuff to look at, but there's even more. They've got little hidden murals everywhere and little chalk characters and on the sides of buildings and over by fountains. And they've got chalk art down both sides. They had one that was Baymax on the main walkway in between World Showcase and I don't even know what we're calling the front of the park anymore. Is it Future World? Is it whatever? But the chalk drawing, it was Baymax, and it was like the whole street of San Francisco, and it was 3-dimensional, and you would stand and you could even like go over, and Riley was sitting on Baymax's back, like soaring through the air, and it was incredible.
Hmm. Okay.
Then they've got all those different, like, I don't know what they're considered. They've got, you know, living art that you can go in and you can be inside a painting, like the one of Washington on the Delaware. And so we did that because I was dying to do that and got a whole bunch of shots there. But that was pretty much our whole first day, was just wandering around, looking at the art, looking at all the different artists' work, and enjoying.
Okay. So would I be incorrect in saying, disrespectfully, that Carly enjoys farts? I mean, is this?
I do.
You do enjoy farts?
Farts is my favorite.
Nice. Nice. Everyone's scratching their head right now in the car. So you better explain. I mean, it's an easy one. So
Festival of the Arts. Arts. Yep.
There we go. Where'd you eat?
Gosh, where did we eat? The very first day we ate at Garden Grill. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, Riley likes the food. I think the food is okay. I would rather a Liberty Tree, I think, but it's so awkward with two people because, you know, it just takes forever to get your food and eat. And we were kind of done, but the characters just, it wasn't busy and they kept coming around. Like, we saw Mickey probably 5 different times. And at the end, it was like, just hide your face, Riley. Maybe he won't come over. You're dodging Mickey Mouse because you're tired of talking and there's only 2 of us and we're both pretty socially introverted, especially with strangers, even though Mickey Mouse may not be a stranger to some, but it did get real awkward.
Mickey's walking by you guys, kind of giving you the side eye, like, should I really talk to these people anymore?
No, these people don't want to talk anymore.
All right. Here's a wave. Bye-bye. You know, have a nice day.
That's what happened, yes.
Right. Okay. And give me something new. Give me a food that you tried for the first time or a drink. Something new. I'm going to make you go back into the memory bank here.
There really wasn't anything new. Like, the very first day at Epcot, I knew exactly what I wanted when I walked in. I knew I was getting 2 drinks. I limited myself to 2 adult beverages. And I got a blackened cider at Rose and Crown, which is, oh my gosh, my absolute favorite thing. And then I got the avocado margarita at La Cava de Tequila and noticed that it was $18. And I was like, oh gosh, that hurt. So no, there really wasn't any new food. I mean, it was just a lot of enjoying our favorites.
Nice. Did you go on attractions the first day too as well? Or was it just, we're just going to blend into the environment day?
We pretty much blended into the environment. We did hit, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. We got, you know, I think boarding group number 1 or 2 for that. Riley was on it.
What'd you think?
It's amazing. It's my favorite coaster.
Yeah. It's plus 10. It's an amazing coaster. Exactly right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. And I actually bought we did the boarding group, but I also did Lightning Lane that day because Riley wanted to get Conga, or I don't know what the other one is that she hasn't had yet. Maybe Disco Inferno. And so I was like, well, we'll have, you know, 2 days of Epcot. Let's do 3 shots of it. So we thought we'll do the 2 light or the 2 boarding groups and then a Lightning Lane. And we ended up getting Conga on the Lightning Lane one that we did. So I was like, yes, I'm glad I spent the money.
Cool.
But the music changes that ride. Every single time, it just feels different based on the music that you're listening to.
You know, I wouldn't disagree. I've only been on it once, but I know that from hearing other people. But that's the freaking movie itself, too. That movie is a really good movie, but you add the soundtrack to it, and all of a sudden, you've got something that's like really, really special. So, agree. Okay, so you got 2 days at Epcot. Are you putting in huge steps on both of those days? Because some of your previous park experiences, okay, anybody who does a park experience, you're talking 20,000 steps easy. And somewhere around 30,000 steps is probably a really good day, which is the equivalent of 15 miles. So are these those kind of days for you at this point?
Yeah, we went from park open to fireworks that night, that first night. And I think we ended up back at the room with like 35,000 steps. It's probably, aside from running races, that's probably the most walking I've ever done in the park at one day. So yeah, it was crazy and we were exhausted and oh my gosh, I slept so good.
Well, for Riley, it's okay, but you're getting a little older now. So I'm getting a little nervous for you with these steps, right? Right.
I know. And actually this trip, we did end up back at the hotel and I napped twice on 2 different days. Once I was sick to my stomach, but the other day I was just like, I'm exhausted, girl. Like, we went back. This was actually day 3 when we did Epcot again. It rained like torrential downpour, and it was cold and we were just drenched. I forgot ponchos. I didn't take an umbrella. Like everything was just soaked. So we ended up back at the hotel room midday, and I think we both took hot showers, and then I fell asleep in bed just for like an hour, and we got up and went again. But we still got about, I think that day, I think we got 30 or 31,000 steps again, even on day three.
You know what's funny though? Those Disney miles are like wonderful miles. Everyone's willing to contribute. Even my 11-year-old daughter, no problem, we'll do it. But if I said at home, let's go for like a 2-mile walk, it'd be like, are you insane? Are you nuts going for a 2-mile walk? But in Disney, it's like, yeah, no problem. We're going to walk 15 miles. This seems like a reasonable plan. Good idea, Dad. You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. 2 days at Epcot. And where's your third day? Are you at a park? Are you just resting? I mean, what are you doing on day, I guess it would be day three of 5 days, correct?
Day one was Springs. Day two and three were both Epcot.
Okay.
So no, if we're talking day four, yeah, no, there's no rest day. We don't do that in the middle of a trip.
Well, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering.
No, that was Magic Kingdom day.
Okay.
So we rope dropped, which I've been in the park for rope drop, but I've not rope dropped a ride. That's always the park that I hate. Space Mountain. I hate Space Mountain with passion. I'm 41 years old and I am totally okay telling everybody and their brother, I am scared of the dark. I do not like the dark. And Space Mountain is like the dark, and it's a roller coaster, and it's like, there's no like real safety system over your body, like no harnesses. It's just like sitting in this stupid thing and I'm afraid I'm gonna fall out.
Gravity, centrifugal force, baby. That's how it works, you know?
Okay. Also gravity for falling. So I've never rope dropped before. I've always just like chilled out in the hub, and Jeff and Riley did their thing in rope drop Space. So this time I was stuck rope dropping Space, and it was quite the experience. I didn't realize that people get so aggressively mean. We ended up getting in like a verbal altercation with a 50 some year old guy that was just nasty and mean and pushed Riley. And I was very unhappy, and I was stressed and anxious about the crowds anyway. And so,
can't take you anywhere. You can't take you anywhere.
He wanted to be the very first person on Space. And yeah, he just whacked her right out of the way, and she takes after her mom. She told him the what for.
What happened? What was the resolution? I mean, was there any resolution, or everyone played?
He took the corner right in front of her and like knocked her and bumped her, and she was like, "Well, some people are rude at Disney," and he turned around and he said, "Yeah, they really are, aren't they?" And I was like, excuse me, like, are you mouthing off to a 15-year-old? Does that make you feel good about yourself? And he was just like taking off the rest of the way. And he ended up in the same ride car as us. So like, we have a picture of him looking very angry, and we're like, yay, two thumbs up, and having a great time. So, you know, karma.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be that person. So this is like our public service announcement for the show is, when you're at Disney, everyone's like, no matter what, even if you're happy, like your anxiety's up, you're kind of stressed out, you're a little tired. It's so easy to be the worst version of yourself. And I've been the worst version of myself at that park. I could remember a conversation with my kids that probably wouldn't be the best to share, you know. But like, yeah, don't be that person at the parks.
No.
Like, you know, you've spent so much money to get here for this one day. You only got, I know you're like, you got 10-12 hours, or we're gonna come back, but you don't know that. You know,
right.
you're an example. You don't know that. Enjoy it. Just like, yes. Let it be. Can I throw it back to let it be?
Yes.
You know, just let it be. Enjoy, you know, everything will work out. So
yes.
All right, so you decided to go on the neck pincher backbreaker to start the day. It's a good call. It's a really good call after a lot of mileage. I'm just saying it's
and I didn't soil myself, so it was good.
That would have been an interesting day. Okay. How many times would you say you've been to the Magic Kingdom in your life at this point?
Oh my gosh.
Give me a ballpark. 40? 30? 40?
Oh, I would say 20.
Okay, 20 times. Yeah. Does it lose its luster, or does it still feel special when you're at the Magic Kingdom?
I think my favorite park over the years has changed. Because I used to say, like, we can just go to Magic Kingdom and that's it. But that doesn't mean the Magic Kingdom has lost its magic. Like, I still get goosebumps whenever I'm there. I love now just to sit in the hub and watch little kids see the castle for the first time. Like, that right there is just, like, gets me teary-eyed, and watching families and they all take their picture. And I love to go over and, like, hey, do you want me to take your picture for you? And they're like, oh yeah, please. I'm like, you know, working my camera skills. And, but that, I think that's just my favorite place to be. Right. Mm. There's something magical about every single spot in Magic Kingdom that it's fun.
Okay. I got 2 points. I got 2 questions to ask. Have you ever done a selfie for somebody, or, like, given someone, I'll take the picture for you, but reverse the lens and taken 4 or 5 pictures of yourself and then handed the camera back to them? Not that I've ever done that, but okay, never mind. Anyways, at what point in the trip did you have that fist bump moment that says, I can do this and I've done this and I did this by myself? Did you have that moment?
I think that was every day. I think every day there was something that I was like, yeah, I got this. Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, day 4 Magic Kingdom, we did rope drop and then we rode the train, which was the first time I think Riley's ridden the train that she even remembers riding the train. She might've ridden it when she was 2, but it's been down.
Carly, it's been the first time anyone's ridden the train in like 7 years, you know?
So, we did that. We rode the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, and we might've done, I think we did Haunted Mansion, and then we left. And we went back to the room and dropped off. I think she had bought some souvenirs and I bought a coffee mug that day. And that's when, like, my aha moment, we decided to Uber to the character warehouse because we'd never been over there. We'd tried before whenever we had driven, but you couldn't find a parking space at the outlet mall.
You got to fight for that one. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah. I was like, hey, we should do it now because we're Ubering. And then we'll hit Portillo's for dinner and then we'll head home. So we did. We Ubered from Boardwalk over to the character warehouse and she bought some stuff there. And then we got another Uber and went to Portillo's. And I mean, you can't be anywhere that close to a Portillo's and not eat at Portillo's if you're a Positano or Davis. So we did that. And then we Ubered back to the Magic Kingdom. And it was the combination of magical Magic Kingdom day and we're almost to the end of our trip and we've had a really good time and we got Character Warehouse, which was something new for us, and Portillo's, which is like something we love. And I Ubered like 3 more times successfully without getting kidnapped or abducted or killed or anything. And so, yeah, it was a really good day. That was probably my favorite day.
Interesting, because you took a pause then in the middle of the day for a good 2-3 hours or so and at the Magic Kingdom. So, but you know what? You've been there so many times already. That's okay to do that. Yeah. And let's just take a second here. So if you're listening and you're like, what is Character Warehouse? There are 2 locations in Orlando. There's one by Universal and there's one on Vineland Road by the church that everyone sees on I-4. It's the Vineland Outlet Mall right there. And so what they do is periodically they'll take goods that don't sell in the parks or are dated or are specific to a season that have a hard time moving at this point, and they locate them in essentially a giant outlet store. And it sounds like, ooh, I could find treasure. And sometimes you do. And sometimes it's very hit or miss. But at all times, it's equally as crowded as a park.
Oh my gosh, it was insane.
Yeah, it's insane. And people grab, like, without looking at sizes. I've been there to see this. They'll grab things off the shelf, put it in their shopping basket, and then look through for sizes and put stuff back. So it's an aggressive environment. You have to be prepared for that. It's not a, ooh, let's browse and have fun. It's like power shopping combined with, like,
it's wrestling? Like Black Friday kind of shopping.
Black Friday, yes, exactly. But you can find some really good deals. I found a few lounge fly bags for the girls at Christmas time, and they were $29 a piece. And it was like, score, you know? So you can
Riley find... got a pair of ears for $3. Yeah. And she was like, are you kidding me? Like, these are real Disney ears and they're only $3. And I was like, yeah, but yep, they are. I mean, they're kind of ugly, which is why they didn't sell. But sure, get a pair. Why not? $3.
$3, exactly right. So there's one located, I would say maybe 10 minutes. It's not so much the drive, or like if you look on a map, you're like really close. But mm-hmm. as you come back around, the stoplights, anything that's a stoplight is always really crowded. So you might have a hard time getting back. So, Okay. So you've done a little more souvenir shopping. Did you stay till fireworks? Are you just tired, or what are you doing at nighttime?
No, we stayed through Magic Kingdom at night. But we are not fans of the new nighttime fireworks at Magic Kingdom at all. So we ended up hitting a bunch of rides while everybody else was busy watching fireworks.
Good plan.
Yeah. I mean, if you are not a firework or night show person, that is the best time to hit rides because everybody else is crammed into the hub and we were just having our run of the rest of the park. It was great.
Yeah. Disney tip, from like 8 to 10 at a 10 o'clock closing, you can do more from 8 to 10 than you can from noon until 8. You can do more from 8 until 10 for sure. Okay. Let me ask you Riley's perspective, because this is her first trip where it's a different family structure. Enjoying the experience, obviously, but like, were there moments of this is you weird, or because I want to paint an accurate picture for this. So,
no,
or was what was she like?
We had always had the plan to do a mom-daughter trip before the decision was made for Jeff and I to split. This was already planned, which is why I kept it.
Okay.
So I don't think it was weird in that regard. I think when we stopped and thought about some things, there were things that felt a little weird, but I think when people say weird, they think bad automatically, but it wasn't bad. It was just different.
Different.
We would go back to the hotel room at night, and she's, you know, almost 16 now, and she's a teenager, and she's got her phone, and she's got her friends. And so she would go out onto the balcony and FaceTime with her friends. And I would be in the room by myself, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not going to go to bed when she's out on the balcony until midnight. So I'm like trying to stay awake, going through TikToks. And, you know, so there were just like weird moments here and there that it was like, okay. You know, there were a couple times that we would go up and go to rides and they would ask how many. And it was like three. Nope. Two. There's just two of us. So there were just weird little moments. Nothing that felt jarring and awkward. So, okay.
Well, you know what? It's a valid question because people will go on single parent trips. So we were talking about this beforehand, and I asked Carly, I said, is there a message you want to get out about the trip? Is there something that we wanted to really boil like something down to? And what did you tell me? What was the message you wanted to deliver in this trip?
I think everybody needs to do a single parent trip, whether you're married or single. I think you need to grab a kid and just go, because it was a completely different feel to Disney for me. And it was, there were moments where I think Riley wanted to go and wanted to do things the Positano way. Mm-hmm. And you know, she wanted that park hopper moment. So it was different in that regard, but I think it was good for both of us to do Disney a little differently. And it was nice to be able to do things that maybe Jeff didn't like to do, but we like to do, or to, you know, there were some things that I've never really taken the time to say, I want to do this, because they didn't want to do it. But when it's just me and her, I was like, we've got plenty of time and, you know, this is my trip too. And I want to try this. So let's do it. Mm-hmm. And she was funny that way too, because there were a lot of times that she looked at me and she was like, just get it, just do it. The avocado margarita. I was like, you don't want to wait in line at La Cava. Like, it's a long line. She's like, what else do we have to do? Just do it. This is your trip too. Do it. And so it was nice to have those moments where it was just her and I doing what we wanted, and also like doing the girl things that we wanted to do, just looking at the dresses and looking at the purses and looking at the jewelry and not feeling like, oh, somebody's waiting on us, we should go. Nope. Like, we're just going to do it. This is what we want to do. We like to look and browse and window shop. So I think that everybody should do it, because I really got to know her, and we had a lot of really great moments that we've always had good moments at Disney, but these were our moments and nobody else.
So you said something, and I'm going to grab onto it and expand it. When you said either whether you're married or you're divorced, but I've taken both of my kids. I've taken Beatrice separately to like Gatorland and like a Florida trip. And I've taken my older twins to college visits and down there. And Lisa has also gone with the kids for about a week or so in the summertime. And you know what? You're right. I only have to please one kid at a time. So we can go for pizza. What do you want to go for food today? You want to get donuts? We got donuts. No problem. I don't got to get the consensus. And you know what? There are certain memories that each kid has that I have. And I, my pictures in my phone, I could remember clearly the individual trips. And mom does as well, too. She has her individual moments. It was, you really get to understand and boil down who that person is a little better. And there are times and conversations you get to have that you just wouldn't have in a family setting, because you got to make sure the whole cohesive unit is walking together and marching together. I just got to grab one person's hand. I don't got to grab three people's hands at this point, you know? So
yes,
exactly. I agree with you completely on that. What about the trip though? If you had to do this over again, what would you do different at this point?
Oh gosh. I don't know. 5 days was a lot, I will say. We spent, by the fifth day, we were at Hollywood Studios, and we did very little there because we were exhausted. And so I don't think I need a 5 day trip. I don't know. I still think I overplan on food and we do too many sit down meals, but then again, that's also time that you're just sitting and you're off your feet and somebody's waiting on you and you don't have to like fight for a table out somewhere. So I don't know. I don't know that I would change anything. I just, I want to do it again, but maybe not Disney, because wow, it's expensive.
Okay. I was going to tell you. So if you're a listener, I mean, you recognize Carly in her voice. But you know what? Disney sometimes ebbs and wanes in your life. And that's okay. And that's okay if for some reason in the next 3 years, 5 years, if Disney takes a lower priority in your life and all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know what? I just want to drive to Washington, D.C. or whatever. And that's completely cool. Because if you're a listener of the show, there will always be a place for you to come back to. And if you went back in 10 years from now, in 5 years from now, in 3 months from now, it will look like a new friend, but still your old best friend, and it'll look the same to you, and it has those same, you know, memories. So that's completely cool if it changes in your life for you. So
Yes. Okay,
I think that's all I got for you. I've asked you a lot of questions that you probably weren't prepared for today, you know, and you've always been an open book, so I appreciate
it. I am
that.
Yes.
So let me ask you this question. You've been a casual observer of the Dubs from a distance, you know, for a little bit of time, but what advice would you give us as we approach our 400th show? What advice as a friend and as a listener and as a Disney fan would you give us? I just just curious.
Yeah,
just
curious. Put me on the spot. No, I don't know. I think what makes the Dubs special is Epcot. And if you're a listener of the Dubs, but you don't go and join the community at Epcot, you're missing out. And because I remember meeting you for the first time, and it was at the Disney Indie thing.
It was also life-changing. Okay, go ahead.
I know. It was for you.
not quite as life-changing as a freaking cookie, but I'm just going to leave it there. Okay, very good.
It was at the Disney Indie Meet, and I had never listened to a show. Never, ever, ever had listened to a show. But Jeff had. And we walked up, and you were like, oh, you must be Carly. And, you know, pulled me in for a group picture. And I'm like, is this a cult? I don't know what this is.
Kind of.
But it's funny because, you know, that was forever ago. And then I was like, oh, okay, they've got such great personalities. I started listening to the show, and then we all became friends and we joined EDCOT and did Family.
She just called us ugly. She just said they have great personalities. She just said they're ugly. Can you believe that?
I thought that was just code in the dating world, but apparently it's life. But now it's funny because I think that I've looked back at that picture that we took of the entire cult group at the Disney Indie Meetup. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've now met this person and I met this person. And I didn't know JJP and Carlin then, but they were right in front of me. Like, I think JJP was touching my kneecap, you perv. But mm-hmm. I mean, they're all there in that picture. And it's like, oh, that's what makes the dub special. Like, anybody can come on and talk about Disney. They really can. And that's fine. I mean, people can come on and talk about their trips, and everybody's trip is Disney. There's some different things about each one, but I think when you know the people, that makes the difference.
And I think, I'll just make this. I think we've always just, that's been almost more important than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's been the gathering in the community more than the show. I'm right. People probably say I hate Chris's voice and he uses terrible grammar and sentence structure. I get that. But you're still hooked after 400 episodes. but here's it's not even the show. It's the community of people that makes it cool. So yeah. Anyways, and with that, it's not like I have to say, hey, I want to welcome Carly back into the community. But you know what? I want to welcome Carly back to the community, you know, and in a time where she's figuring out who Carly is, you know what? It's not the old Carly, it's the new Carly. So,
exactly.
All right. So, again, join us in EDCOT, EDCOT. It's our friend group. It's our listener group. We'd love to have you. And you know what? We appreciate talking to you today. So,
hey, thanks for having me.
For my friend Carly and for myself, I'd like to thank you. And we want to wish you a great day.
And I can't wait to see who the next guest is. That's so great and life-changing and amazing.
Don't worry. They're coming on. Don't worry. All right. Bye, everybody.